Today she is Masech Da'erech and Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, about 12 lines from the top. Avo B'Kabonas Einah Kein. We learned in the Mishnah in our previous year that when we speak about Erechin, the halacha is Ani V'Heshir. If somebody was poor and then he got wealthy, or vice versa, he has to give the Erech of a wealthy person. Whereas by Kabonis, we look at what is his financial status when he brings the carbon. Then the last din of the Mishnah, which is what the Gemara begins to focus now on, is if somebody has a father with a lot of money, or he has a ship at sea that has a lot of valuable cargo, he still has to only, but he doesn't have that money currently available. The halacha is he's considered an ani. A few interesting points to make. One point, kol ha'Torah kul is one connection. The halacha is clearly by Erchin that if he was an usher or at any point, the Mishnah says, he has to give the erech of an usher. So what's the halacha, the Rishonim discuss, if currently he was an usher, he's mechuyev the carbon of an usher, but right now he's an ani. So what should he do? Should he wait until Hashem will help him to get wealthy again? Or should he give what he can and owe the rest? So it seems the opinion of almost all Rishonim is give what you can and owe the rest. And I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos B'Tzelah Chochma actually takes this and uses this for a very famous Shaila. Rachman al-Tzlan, the halacha, what happens if it's Pesach by night, and one is unable to eat a kazayis of matzah? He just can't eat a kazayis of matzah. So we know that when it comes to Isser, the halacha is chotzi shir asur min ha'Torah, even a chotzi shir is asur. What about when it comes to mitzvah? You can't do the whole shir. Should you do what you can or not? So the Chidah says clearly, do what you can. There's a machloikis, and the Shagas Aryeh also says the same. There is a machlokes amongst the poskim regarding the bracha. Some poskim say you could make the bracha al chilas matzah. Some poskim say if you're not eating kazayis and you know you're not going to be able to eat a kazayis, so you shouldn't make the bracha. I saw a third opinion, interesting opinion. Don't make a bracha al chilas matzah, because less than a kazayis is not a chila. Here you should make a bracha al mitzvah matzah. So the B'Tzelah Chachma brings a raya that's the proper halacha from this Gemara. Because what do we see here? That if somebody can't give what he can, he can't give what he's supposed to, he should give what he can. So similarly, the halacha is, by the matzah, you can't eat the kazayis, eat what you can. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, and I mentioned it in the previous year briefly. This halacha that we're starting to analyze, that if you have money, but it's not accessible to you, you're not considered a wealthy person, regarding what din is it speaking about? Rashi says it's speaking about Erechin. That by Erechin, even if you have this money coming in, we'll discuss more what that means in the Gemara in a moment, it still doesn't make a difference. We look at what you currently have. Rashi says it clearly. Other Rishonim say that it's speaking about Kabonis. By Kabonis, we look at your current situation, not by Erechin. And in fact, it's interesting that the Paiskim say that throughout Shas, I think it's primarily a sugya Masechet Bava Basra. How do we understand somebody being wealthy or not wealthy? So Gemara always says a shear of 200 zuz. Here, it's not a shear of 200 zuz. Here, it's a shear by Kabonis. Can you afford to pay for the carbon? If you can pay for the carbon, the animal carbon that we discussed, and then the Sochem, then you have to bring an animal carbon. You can't afford that much, bring Eifis. Bring birds. Although, the question that the Chazanish asks, if that's indeed the halacha, the Gemara says that let's say you could halakhically be obligated only to bring oifis. But the halacha is if you brought animals, you're yaitza. If you could afford the animal, so then you're obligated in the animal. And if you can't afford the animal, how do you have the animal? So he says, it's referring that you brought one animal, not all the animals, and you were able to afford one of the three animals, or two of the three animals, but not all of the animals. But back to our issue. In our previous year, we quoted Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau making a very interesting observation on the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sadia Goyim. We look in the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sadia Goyim. He says the kabbonis of a Metzora Oni and a Metzora Osher are considered two separate mitzvahs. Whereas the kabbonis, the status of an Erechin, where there's Halacha, as we discussed and will discuss, that there's a set amount, but if you can't afford it, then there's the din of Hesed Yad, is all considered one mitzvah. So he wants to suggest that this Machlokes Rishonim that we just quoted, is this din of a kabbonis Enokain, a din by Erechin, or a din by kabbonis, really depends on how we look at the halacha. If we look at the halacha of Karbon, that the Karbon of a Mitzvah Onin and Karbon Mitzvah Asher are two separate mitzvahs, so then for kabbonis, there's a special rule, we look at your status at the moment you're bringing the Karbon. And by Erechin, since it's all one mitzvah, then that rule wouldn't apply. But if we say that the din of Karbon Onin and Karbon Asher is all one mitzvah, so whatever is the din by kabbonis will be the same din by Erechin. So as we said, the Mishnah said, Av meis v'niach l'ribur, if your father left and he left you a large inheritance, asheru, he's obviously a wealthy person. So why do you bring a carbon ani, or why do you bring the erech of an ani? Answers the Gemara, Amar ribur, eim v'niach l'ribur. The father didn't pass away. When he'll die, he's going to leave a big Yerusha. Ask the Gemara Pshita, if the father didn't die, it's not his money yet. Answers the Gemara, Kshayav Geisus. The father is a Geisus. Mad time arrived, Geisus in Lamisa. Most Geisus are going to pass away. And since most Geisus are going to pass away, that halacha ought to be that he's already considered like an usher, Kamashma, until his father actually passes away, the money's not him. And as Rashi says, the Gemara is not retreating from what it always says, the Rav Geisus in Lamisa. Rav Geisus, unfortunately, are Lamisa. The Gemara is saying a different halacha, that even though Rav Geisus in Lamisa, that doesn't mean that the money is yours until your father passes away. So the Gemara continues analyzing the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Tzvinasa b'yam, if his boat's at sea, u'bala b'ribus, and he has on it stock worth thousands of dollars. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, ashahu. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda, his boat was rented out to someone else, and since the boat is rented to somebody else, he doesn't have access to his boat. If he rented out the boat, he's getting the rental fee. And if it's a big boat, it's going to be a significant fee. Answers the Gemara Schiris and the Mishtalam Smutsaif. He doesn't have the money until the rental fee is due, which is at the end of the term. And right now, he doesn't have access to that money. So the Mefarshim explained this concept of Schiris and Mishtalam Smutsaif. There are actually two ways of understanding this concept. One way of understanding the concept is that when I rent you something, it really isn't, I'm not doing anything until the end of the term. And therefore right now, if I rented you my boat, I have nothing. Another way of understanding is it could very well be that the rental fee accrues over the term. But even though the rental fee is accruing over the term, that doesn't mean that the money is by me. The money isn't by me until it's due to me. And therefore, it can't be considered that I have the money until the money is actually paid to me. Where would we see this rule? We would see this rule, let's say somebody owes me money. Again, I have no liquid assets, but somebody owes me a lot of money. But since the money is not due until the end of the term, it's not considered like I have the money because it's not owed to me. The Mefarshim asks a very interesting question. Mefarshim asks, that there's a shaila throughout Shas, if kinyan peres k'kinyan aguf dami or not. If you have only rights to the benefit of something, are you considered the owner? So ask Mefarshim, if you rented my boat, and we say kinyan peres k'kinyan aguf, so now you have the benefit and the control of the boat, you're the owner. So how could the Gemara could suggest that I am the owner, if you, the renter, are the owner? So Mefarshim say a very bechidish. Even if we hold kinyan peres k'kinyan aguf, that doesn't detract from my ownership. You have one level of ownership, and I have another level of ownership, and that's why the Gemara is questioning, so why shouldn't it be considered that I have assets? The answer is because I'm not due till the end. The Mefarshim also go on to explain This concept of ein schiris ein mishtalemis el l'psoif, this concept teaches us that we know schar mitzvah b'hayal meleka. A person lives his life, does mitzvahs, but we know that schar mitzvah b'hayal haba. Why? Because of this concept. Schiris ein mishtalemis l'psoif. We're God's workers in this world, and we only deserve our schar when we leave. And then the Mefarshim take this concept a step further. We know that it says in Chumash, Parshas Pinchas, after the story of Pinchas, Zimri ben Salah and Kirzbi bas Tzor, that he killed them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinini noisin like brisi shalom. There's a very famous Rashi. Rashi says, Bedin hu shiyitul scharai. He's entitled to a schar. What's Rashi saying? What's Pshat and Rashi? The Farshim say, very beautiful pshat, we just said you don't get schar in this world. So why is Pinchas entitled to schar? The answer is, if I work for you, and there's an agreement, I'm your employee, and the terms are that I finish the job in a month, and I'll get paid. Before that, I'm not entitled. But let's say I do something extra, so then I'm entitled immediately. What Pinchas did was lefnim mishuras adin, as the halach is, kanam pagim boy. Not everybody's obligated to do it. So he did something above and beyond. For something that's above and beyond, you do get schar in this world. That's why Rashi says, even though normally you don't get schar in this world, here bedin hu shiyitul scharai, you're entitled to your schar. The tzlach says a beautiful word. In the Haggadah, everybody says divrei Torah on the Dayenu. In the Dayenu we say, ilu harag es b'choreyem v'loi noslon es memoinam Dayenu. And everybody asks, what's the connection between the killing of the Bechayrim and the money? What is the connection between these two events? So he says, we're answering is a very famous question. It's Machloikus Rishayim. We know that Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. But they were only there 210 years. So what happened with the missing 190? So there are many Pshatim, but the two primary Pshatim, one is the Kishya Shiba. They worked so hard in 210, like 400. The other pshat is indeed that they owe 190. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw they can't remain in Mitzrayim one more moment, and we owe it. So if we owe it, tzaris. Who knows how and when we'll pay it up. But if the Kishya Shiba made it up, then we're finished. So we say in the Haggadah, how do we know that Kishya Shiba made it up, and we're Baruch Hashem finished? If we wouldn't have been finished, we're not entitled to the moment. Why are we not entitled to the moment? The fact that we got paid is a raya that Baruch Hashem we're finished with that galus. We should be finished with all galus. One more beautiful vart. We know, it's very much in Yonah D'Yoyma, that the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, that when Kisayim Masechta, when he finished the Masechta, Avidna Yom Tavol Rabbanan. Used to make a siyum. A siyum is a time for rejoicement. Why? Because only when you finish a mesechta do you have a right to rejoice. That's why we make a simcha by a siyum. Ask the Gemara, the tape claim of Svina. Fine. I rented out my boat. I'm not entitled to get my rental fee until the end, but I own a boat. So isn't that a significant asset? That should say that I shouldn't have to give the carbon of Oni, or that I shouldn't have Hesig Yad, answers the Gemara Hamani, who is the town of this Bryce, Reb Elezer. The Tanan, as we're going to Mitzvah learn, Reb Elezer Oimrim Hoye Iker, when we come to evaluate somebody's financial status, if he's a foreigner, we don't consider his tools, because he needs his tools to live. V'chamor, and if he's a donkey driver, Noisle Chamorei. Here too, my panos is from renting out my boat, so the boat is not considered an asset that should be considered if I could afford it. So we looked at the Mishnah in the previous year. Hashanim benidur. The erchin are dependent on your age and on your gender, but it's the age of the subject of the erch. Ketzad. Yelich erch zokin. If a young person said he's going to give the erch of an older person, so halach is nice and erch zokin. And vice versa. V'zokin sh'erech es a yalit, or an old person saying he's going to give the erech of a younger person, nois erech yalit. We also learned, erech and v'nerech. The gender of the subject is crucial, and therefore the halach is, Ketet isha herach isha. If a man says he's going to give the herach of a woman, nice herach isha. Isha sheherach ish, nice senach herach ish. Furthermore, we learned the erach bezman ha'erach. We follow the time of the erach. Ketzad. Harichai pachs b'men chamish. When I said my erach, I said I'm going to give the erach of a person who's under 5 years old. By the time I come to pay the nas yesa ben chamish, he's already above 5 years old. A pachs b'men asrim. He was below 20. The nas yesa ben asrim, where the fee is higher. Nice bezman erach. And we said in the previous year, Machlokes Rishonim, Tosfos in the Rambam, what is considered Zman HaErech. The Rambam says the Zman HaErech is when you verbalized your Erech obligation. Tosfos holds it's the time that you're evaluated. Tana Rabban, begins the Gemara Braisa. Ata Kesheisa Domim L'Erechim. The Torah compares Domim to Erechim. What does that mean, the Torah compares Domim to Erechim? Magolus L'Kalim. So Rashi explains it as follows. In a city, the value of a diamond is much more than the value of a diamond in a village. There are more customers for a diamond. So let's say somebody obligated himself to give an erech, and he owns a diamond. So if this diamond were in the city, and let's say he was supposed to give the maximum, the chamishim, in the city this diamond is worth chamishim, in the village it isn't. Do we tell him to give, to take it to the city, or do we evaluate it according to where he is? And the halacha is you evaluate it according to where he is. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rambam learns somewhat different. He says you're not obligated to take the diamond to the city so you can get more to pay more. Ask the Gemara of Lidin B'chvoidoi. And similarly, we've learned, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, Shir, that the halacha is but by Erechit and by Domim, Erechit Nefashis, that he said, I'm going to give the Erech of Roshi, and Roshi is a Nesham, Avish and Nesham at Luyba, you have to give your whole Erech. That then applies both by Erech and by Domim. Yochel, Nakish Erech and Ledomim, Shiitin Kishas Nesina, that we look at the time of payment, not at the time of the obligation, Tamloim Ke Erech Chayokim, Ein Noisin Obazmana Erech. And here we have a Machlokes Rashi and Taisus, how to learn the Gemara. Rashi explains as follows. An erech, as we've been keep on repeating, has a specific value based on age and gender. So if I take upon myself an erech obligation today, even if I don't pay it for a year from now, the fee is very specific. However, by domim, if I say I'm going to give my value or your value, it doesn't make a difference, and I only come to pay in a year from now, we don't know what the value was a year ago. And since we don't know what the value was a year ago, it's impossible to ever pay, to be able to evaluate it. So must be that the halacha, says Rashi, is that we go according to the time I'm coming to pay. At that point, we make the evaluation. Taisus is very troubled with Rashi's pshat. Because Taisus says, who says that we don't know what the value was a year ago? Taisus says, the way I understand Taisus, let's say I say I'm going to give the value of my car to Hegdish. And there are lists that give you exactly what is the value of a car based on any day. So I could take that list and see if I made the nether today, what was it worth today? Even if I'm paying the nether in a year from now. And specifically, Tosfos and the Rishonim say, we know, again, using my example, cars go down in value the older they are. So why should Hegdish lose out? Because of this question, Tosfos takes a whole different approach. Tosfos says this thing is not based on svara, on logic, it's based on a pasuk. And the mefarshim say, what's the pasuk? Because by erechin it says, by erechin it goes, the day you made the erech, not by nedarim. So how do we understand Rashi's pshat? So the Brisker Rav explains Rashi's pshat. The Brisker Rav says that when somebody makes a neder with domim, he recognizes that when you say you're going to give the value of something, it's a value that fluctuates. And what he meant to say with his nether is, I know what I'm going to give is fluctuates, and I should give it according to the value when I pay. So that was what you accepted upon yourself, and that's all you have to do. Continues the Gemara, says the Mishnah. We know, as I keep on saying, when we speak about Erechin, it goes according to age and gender. And as somebody gets older, until much older, his Erech keeps on going up. So there's from a month to 5 years old, then from 5 years old to 20 years old, from 20 years old to 60 years old, and then from 60 years old and up. So the question is, if somebody is a month old, or 5 years old, or 20 years old, do we push it up or do we push it down? Says the Mishnah, Yom Shloshim Klamata Mena. The 30th day, he's considered less than a month old. And if he's less than a month old, there's no Erech. Shnas Chamish, if he's in his 5th year, or Shnas Eshrim, or in the 20th year, Klamata Mena. He pays the lower fee. How do we know it? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Shnem V'im Ben Shishim Shanom Ma'ala. Only when you're above 60 do you pay the fee for somebody above 60. But when you're that age, you pay the low amount. We learn from here, Mishnah Shishim. We learn from what the Torah said by Shnah Shishim, Talocha by all the ages. Mashnah Shishim, when you're in the 60th year, you pay like you're 60 and lower, like you're below 60, Klamat Amenu. Av Shnas Chamesh, when you're in your 5th year, or you're in the Shnas Es from your 20th year, Klamata Imenu. You pay like you're in the 50, below 5, below 20, not higher than 5, not higher than 20. So the Mishnah asked the obvious question. Hein, im also Shnas Shishim Klamata Amenu. If I say somebody's in the 60th year, he's treated like he's below 60, so Hegdash gets more. It's a Chumrah. Nasa Shnas Chomesh V'Shnas Esrim Klamata Amenu L'Hakul. But we're saying when you're in your 5th year, or your 20th year, you pay like you're below 20, you're below 5, Hegdash ends up getting less. Maybe it doesn't go that way. Answers the Gemara. Answers the Mishnah. Tamaloy Mishana Shana L'Gzer Shava. The Torah makes L'Gzer Shava between all of these cases. Ma Shana Hamur B'Shna Shishim Klamata. When we say by Shashishim it's below 60. Av Shana Hamur B'Shna Shchamish B'Shna Esrim Klamata Mena Ben L'Hakka Ben L'Hakma. It goes, always we go lower, even if it represents a Kula or a Chumra to Hegdash. Rabbi Elazar Omer, the Gemara will explain Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Ache Yiseris Allah Shonim, you only start paying the next bracket when you're a chodesh v'yom echad, a month and a day above. So in other words, we're saying 5 years. When you're above 5 years, you pay the new bracket. When does that begin? When you're full 5 years and a month and a day have passed. And the Gemara is going to explain the basis for Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, taught us the Gzeira Shava. And we know throughout Shas, when we speak about Gzeira Shavas, there's a concept of a Gzeira Shava Mufna and a Gzeira Shava She'ena Mufna. What does that mean? A Gzeira Shava Mufna means that the words are superfluous. And there the halacha is, even if the Gzeira Shava can be refuted, it stands. If the words are not Mufna, so if there's no question on the Gzeira Shava stands. But if there's a question, it's refuted. Says the Gemara, the Gzeira Shava that our Mishnah mentioned must be Mufna. Diloy Mufna, if the words aren't extra, ikla mifak revachinon, here it's a chumra and here it's a kula. Answers the Gemara, Shana Yishana Yiseiru Ksiv. The Torah indeed ends the words Shana. Just give me one for a second to read the words of the Pasuk. Sorry, thank you. The Torah, just to read the words of the Pasuk, the words of the Pasuk are, Vim ben chomesh shanam, va ben esrim shana. So what does the Torah have to say Shana again? It must be to make a Gzeira Shava from this Pasuk to the Pasuk of Ben Shishim Shana Umala. To make a Gzeira Shava. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Lein Masnissin like Rebbe, this Gzeira Shava that we just learned doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is, Hotmar, Ve'ad, Ve'ad, Beklal. According to Rebbe, as we're going to see, we shouldn't need a Gzeira Shava. What does it mean? The Tanya. The Pasuk says, Miyoyim Arishin Va'yoyim Shvi. From the first day of Pesach to the last day of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. So says the Breisa, Yochel, Rishav lo Rishav b'chlal, Shviv lo Shviv b'chlal. Here too we have a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the Breisa is questioning, maybe the Isser of eating chametz doesn't apply on the first day and the last day of Pesach. Tosfos disagrees. He says if there's a Chiv to eat matzah on the first day and on the last day of Pesach, you can't be eating chametz. But the Breisa means to say maybe there's no Isser Koris for eating chametz on the first and last day of Pesach. Kin Shnemer. And where do we find such a concept? Meroy Shevaragli. There's a very interesting din in the Torah. We speak about tzaras, we've spoken about tzaras in the previous shurim. But the Torah says if somebody's tzaras spreads from his head to his feet, then he's tahor. So the halach is, Roy Shevaragli, Roy Shevaragli, but raglav ala raglav b'klal. So the halacha, for this halacha to apply, doesn't mean that you have to have it from your head to your toes. If you have it on your entire body, without your head and without your toes, you're fine. Tamalaymer, that's why the pasuk says, ad yoyim ha'echav esrim l'chadish b'erif. So here, what the Torah says, mishnas chamesh ad shnas esrim, if you hold ad v'ad b'klal, so it's obvious that the 20th year is included in the lower bracket. So why would I need a gzeir shava? The taitcher, the pasuk, tells me that. Answers the Gemara. It says the Gemara, I'm still not up to the question. Rabbi, I mean, enitzach rishon, rishon b'chlal, shvi v'shvi b'chlal. The pasuk itself, if it says rishon, means rishon is included and shvi is included. So why over here do I need a gzeir shava, according to Rabbi? Isn't that the definition of the pasuk? Answers the Gemara. I feel it, Rabbi. The need for the gzeir shava that our Mishnah taught us even exists according to Rabbi. Because says the Gemara, shkuli mishkuli kra, the psukim point in different directions. And the Gemara explains itself. Michti, ksiv mi ben chodesh va ben chamish shonim. So we read that pasuk, what does the pasuk seem to indicate? That when you're in your fifth year, you're in the lower bracket. What does the next pasuk say? Ben chamish va ben chof. What does that pasuk seem to indicate? That when you're in your fifth year, you're in the higher bracket. Lomeli, so how do I reconcile these two psukim? Hilkach ishtakiluhu. The two psukim give us opposite direction, and the way to know how to understand the psukim is based on the gzeir shava. So Gemara focuses on this pasuk that we just spoke about, tsuras from the head to the bottom, to the feet. Amar ra, we just learned roshu v'lay roshu b'klal, raglov v'lay raglov b'klal. Ask them why. The pasuk says maroshu v'ad raglov. So how do we come to exclude the head and the feet? Answers the Gemara. Since the simonim of what is a nega on the hair is different than the simonim of what is a nega on the body, so it's different simonim. If it's different simonim, they can't combine. So ask the Mefarshim, that's understandable why we don't combine the head with the body. But how come we don't combine the feet with the body? They have the same simonim. So the Rishonim ask this question. And the Rishonim say, if we see that the Torah spoke about Roisha and Raglov, and Roshay, the way we just explained, can't be included. So what did the Torah mean by Raglov? That it too should not be included. Ibai Seima, the pasuk says, L'chol mari ein ha'koyim. What does L'chol mari ein ha'koyim mean? That we have to look at the person, we have to be only places that are visible. So the way Rashi explains, the head is not visible, the nega, because the hair blocks it. The feet, you can't see the nega between the toes. And therefore, obviously, the head and the toes are excluded. Other Rishonim say it's not the toes that are the problem on the feet, it's the sole of the foot that you can't see. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Eimer, that when we speak about years, we have to add a month and a day. Rabbi Elazar Eimer, actually, Yishteris al-Shonim, Chodesh v'yem echad. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Eimer, Nemekan l'mala. Here the Torah says the word mala when we speak about the age of Erechin. V'nem l'halam, when it comes to counting the Leviyim. Chodesh u'mala. Mala halon. Miban chodesh v'yem echad. When were the Leviyim counted? Only when they passed the month. And in fact, the Paiskim say, the question is, we just learned not long ago, Masechta B'chayrus. So when we come to evaluate how old is a child for Pinyan HaBen, we have to wait till the chodesh is over. Just like we see over here, that the whole 30 days are over. Afkan chodesh v'yem echad. Ask the Gemara, v'ayim ki hosam, ma hosam chad yoima. As soon as it's one day past the month, they were up for the census. Afkan, maybe here too, as soon as the one day passed 5 years, you don't have to wait a month and a day. Answers the Gemara, if that would be the halacha, in King Zer Shav Mayhani. To know that it's a day past 5 years, or a day past 20 years, it's obvious. If the Torah taught us Gzeir Shava and wants to accomplish something with Gzeir Shava, and what is being accomplished with that Gzeir Shava, that we compare to the Leviyim a month and a day after the 5 years, a month and a day after the 20 years. Tanabon, Shana Amur B'Kachim. Many times the Torah tells us we have to bring a carbon. And when we speak about a carbon, the Torah says, Keves Ben Shnosai, those that say Kabanas every day, that's the age of the carbon Tamid. How do we count a year? Because we learned together in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that as soon as Rosh Hashanah passes, it's already a new year. Is that the halacha by the age of an animal, or does it go according to its birthday? So the Gemara says it goes according to the birthday. The halacha is that if somebody sells a home and a house in a city that has a wall from the time of Yeshua, if you have up to 1 year to redeem it, how do we count the year? From the anniversary. We learned this halacha the other day. That when you sell a stay achuza, their halacha is, for the first 2 years, you don't have the right to redeem it. How do you count those 2 years? Sheishem Shebevet Ivri. We know that an Evet Ivri is sold for 6 years. How do you count the 6 years? The Cain Shebeben Abbas, which we'll speak about extensively soon. Kulon Me'es L'Es. They're all counted according to the birthday. There's a fascinating Rashi here. Rashi says, I just want to show you, Me'es L'Es, Oysi Yoyim, V'Oysi Shal Shana Haba. So Rashi says we don't even look at the day, we also look at the hour. So Tosfos clearly says, looking at the hour is a din by the animal's birthday. Maybe I'll prove to you how Tosfos gets to that conclusion. It's a din by Stei Achuza. But by other halachas, we don't follow the hour, we follow the birthday. Rashi seems to say that in all situations, we look not only at the birthday, but we look at the hour. This question is a very relevant question. Why is this a very relevant question? Because a child is bar mitzvah. So let's say a child's bar mitzvah is Zayin Shvat. He was born in Zayin Shvat. So his bar mitzvah is Zayin Shvat. So when do we say he becomes bar mitzvah? As soon as Zayin Shvat, as soon as Tzeis HaKachovim on Zayin Shvat, we consider him a bar mitzvah. It's not so simple. It seems from Rashi, maybe, that we should not look at the moment Zayin Shvat begins, but we should look at when he was born 13 years ago. If he was born in the middle of the night, he's only bar mitzvah in the middle of the night. If he was born in the middle of the day, he's only bar mitzvah in the middle of the day. So the Shach and the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes them, say that when it comes to bar mitzvah, we only look at the birthday. We don't look at the hour. But it's not so poshut. And I saw for a Moshe Sternbuch in the Sefer Me'adim V'Zmanim, I'm not suggesting anybody should do this. He says this is what he did. He said, we all know that what is the first mitzvah bar mitzvah bachur does? Krishma, Krishma Shel Arvis. So let's say they daven Meir B'Zman, 7 o'clock, but he was born 11 o'clock at night. So he says he should say Krishma at 11 o'clock at night. Because it could be he's not bar mitzvah until 11 o'clock at night. So when he said Krishma at 7 o'clock, he wasn't mechuyif. Or he's going to put on tefillin in the morning. But let's say he was born 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he's not bar mitzvah until 3 in the afternoon. So in the morning when he put on tefillin, he wasn't mechuyif in deraisa. He only becomes mechuyif deraisa 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it becomes full 13 years of his birth. And he should wait. Or you should put on tefillin again, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Says the Gemara, Shana Amur B'Kachim Nolan. How do we know that this is the halacha by Kachim? Says the Gemara, Amar of Acha B'Yakov, Amar Kro, Keves Ben Shnosoi. Shnosoi Shaloi, his birthday, V'loi Sheminyan Oilam. So Tosfos asks a Gevaldig Kasha. Tosfos says, if we're going to say, like the other option, that as soon as Rosh Hashanah passes, it becomes the second year. So how could you ever bring a Karmat Tamid in Rosh Hashanah? If the animal was born before Rosh Hashanah, it's already in the second year. The Torah says, Keves Ben Shnosai. If the animal was born on Rosh Hashanah, we know you have to wait 7 days until you can bring an animal. So how can we have a different... So why do I need the Pasuk? It's obvious. So Tosfos answers, like I just said. If I didn't have the Pasuk, I would think you follow the birthday. But you don't follow the exact hour. The pasuk comes to teach us that not only do you follow the birthday, but you also follow the exact hour. Shana Amur Batei Erchayma, Diksiv At Toim Shnas Memkaroi, the anniversary from the transaction, Memkaroi Shaloi, V'loi Shana Minyan Oilam. Shtei Shanim Shabstei Chuzah, the 2 years that you can't redeem Shtei Chuzah, how do we know that? Diksiv B'mispeh Shnei Tvuay Shimachalach. We know what Allah is. Simple way of understanding it. Let's say I sold the field 10 years before Yovel. So we divide the value by 10. But the Pasuk uses the words Tavuos. What is the Pasuk teaching us with the word Tavuos? That even though I can't redeem it for 2 years, you may end up with more than two crops. Why? So as Rashi explains, maybe I sold you the field in Nisan. In Nisan, the fields are full of the crop. And now, you, the buyer, would cut off that crap. You keep it for 2 more years, where you may end up getting 2 more crops. So even though you only had it for 2 years, you may end up with twice more. Why? Because we followed the anniversary. The 6 year of Zeven Evri, that's also from the day of the anniversary. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, the Ksiv Sheish Shonim Yavid Ubishvias. Zimnin, the Bishvias Nami Yavid. How does it go into the 7th year? Because we look at the anniversary of the sale. Then the Brisa said, Vishab Ben Shabbas, Kumais Leis. But ask the Gemara, what does the Brisa mean when it says the Ben and the Bas? Lamai Hilchasa. Amrav Gidl Amarav, L'Erchin. That when it comes to Erchin, we go according to the birthday. It's very interesting. We go according to the birthday. It's very interesting. Rashi in Chumash makes an incredible observation. The year that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, Yom Kippur, after Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave us for the Chet Egel, a census was done that Tishrei. And there were 603,550 Jews. 603,550 Jews. A couple months later, in Iyar, they did a census again. And you got the exact same number. So Rashi says, how did they get the exact same number with so many months in between? Nobody had a birthday in between. So Rashi says, when it comes to counting a census, we don't count according to the birthday. We count according to Rosh Hashanah. And everybody's considered a new age by Rosh Hashanah. And from Tishrei to Iyar, there are no new Rosh Hashanahs. So you could get the exact same count. The Ramban has 2 problems with Rashi. First of all, his first problem with Rashi is it's hard to say that nobody died. Now, one Jew died in that 6 month period or whatever. And the other question, the Ramban says, is that we learned from Erchin that we do follow the birthday, not Rosh Hashanah. So how does Rashi learn that we follow the year, not the birthday, when Agamar clearly tells us you follow the birthday? The Maral, in the Sefer Gur Aryeh, attempts to defend Rashi, and he says that only when there's a financial repercussion do we look at the birthday. By Erchin, there's a financial repercussion. By a census, there's no financial repercussion. And there, everybody agrees that we don't follow the birthday. That's how we defend Rashi's pshat. Rav Yosef Amar L'Pirkei D'Yotzei D'Oifen. In Perek Yotzei D'Oifen, we're going to learn in Masechta Nida, the Gemara speaks about a number of factors where the birthday is an issue. And we learned at the beginning of our Masechta that the halacha is a mufla samach l'ish, a boy who's 12 years old, a girl who's 11 years old but is intelligent, then the darim are considered valid in the darim. So we say, why do we say 12? When do we say 11? We look at the birthday. Am labaya. So we have 2 different pshatim in Ben and Bas. So he asks, is there a halachic disagreement? Am leloi. There's no halachic disagreement. And no amichada. I gave 1 explanation. V'amichada, and he gave a different explanation. But not necessarily that we disagree with each other halachically. And says the Gemara Hachin Nami Mstabro that there is no halachic nafkamina. This akadatach pligi, if we're going to say that they are indeed disagreeing, mandam la'erchin. Does that mean that the mandam that says by erchin we look at the birthday will hold like Amal Yotze Daifin, that when it comes to the Nadarim, we don't look at the birthday? But says the Gemara Ba'amamah, don't we have a rule that Rechz Bekula Perke Meis Leis? That we follow the Alokas of Perke Yotze Daifin, and we always follow the birthday. So it must be that the Alok is both ways. So ask the Gemara, so now we need to understand why did he say Pshat means Erchin, and why did he say Pshat Nadarim? El Lamandam El Erchin, my time Allah Amal Yotze Daifin. Why did he choose this Pshat? So he answers the Gemara during the Hanukkah, because he looked at all the other subjects that were addressed in this Braisa. Ma Hanukkah Tiksiva, all the other subjects are issues that are beferish in the Torah. The age of a carbon, Steyachuza, Af Hanukkah Tiksiva. Erchin is a parasha in the Torah. Vidach, Isa Akadatach Tiksiva. If we're referring to Erchin, so he says, I have a problem with the wording. Hai Sheben Shebebas, what does it say Sheben Shebebas? Shebez Zochavin Vekeva Mi Boilei. Those are the words the Torah always used by Erechin. It must be that the Braisa isn't speaking about Erechin, it's speaking about a different subject that did a mufla samachlish. So ask the Gemara an interesting question. Just a fact. The erech of a man from 20 to 60 is 50 shkolim. When he becomes over 60, it's 15. The erech of a woman from 20 to 60 is 30. When she becomes above 60, it's 10. So we look at the ratio, a woman is a third. 15 is less than a third of 50. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Nekeva, the Kimizikna Mekaima Tilsa, her ratio, her rate is a third. Or Maishna Zocha, the Loikaya Tilsa, it's not even a third. Answers the Gemara, Amachiskia Amri Inchi, Sav Bebesa, if you have an old man in the home, Pacha Bebesa, Sabta Bebesa, Sermi Bebesa, but when you have an old, Pacha Bebesa means you have a Klola, you have a curse, an old woman is a Brocha. Poshapshat, is because an old woman could still be active in the home. And therefore, she brings a bracha to the home. An old man, if he's, what's he going to do sitting at home? And therefore, he doesn't bring a bracha to the home. Another pshat that I saw is interesting pshat, the Paradis Yosef says. The Paradis Yosef says like this. We have to look at the wording of the Gemara. He's saying, an old man isn't chas v'shalom a klala. When is an old man a klala? He says, look at the words. Sof v'beisa. When the man is at home, a man, an old man, he can't work anymore. He's very old. But that doesn't mean he should sit at home. He should be going to shul. He should be learning. He should be davening. If he's sitting at home, he's an amaretz. An amaretz is a klala. A woman, she's still active in doing what she's supposed to, even when she's older. A third pshat that I saw, very interesting pshat, from the Satmar Rebbe. He says, the Torah says, regarding to Adam Rishon a klola, b'zayis apecha toich alechem. That klola remains with a man his whole life. B'zayis apecha toich alechem. Panos is not always that easy. What was the klola to the woman? The eitz of tel libani. But once a woman gets older, she's not of childbearing age. So an older man still has the klola, but a younger man, a young, older woman no longer has a klola. She brings bracha to our families. Hanu lachasayad, hanu lachasayad, hanu lachasayad.